Good morning, and we are so glad you are up and listening to the greatest show on the radio. Old Lion, Young Lion, as you know, we are here with you every Sunday morning at 9:30, getting you up to get to God's house. My name is Anthony, and I'm here with Sam Hazleton, and we are Old Lion and Young Lion, and our show exists to preach the truth as boldly as possible. What we believe is the Bible teaches us that the righteous are bold as lions, and we work for the greatest lion of all time, and that is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He is the one that has equipped us with the boldness that we are operating in now. Now, Sam and I are both pastors at your local church, Electric City Baptist Church, and we meet in the heart of Schenectady County on Hamburg Street, right up from Rollerama, if you know the area, Electric City Baptist Church, 2350 Hamburg Street, every Sunday at 10:30, and we'd love for you to come join us on one of these Sundays. Now, this week, we want to make sure that we recognize our sponsor for this week's episode, and that is what looks to be here on our list, a Denisha and Nathan Roberts. So we just want to recognize them. We love you guys and shout out. Thank you for listening. Now, we've been on a great kickoff to season two, but we have a tradition that we'd like to maintain, and that is that every episode we start off with a little word of prayer. So I'm going to ask our resident Old Lion here. Would you mind, Sam, could you kick off the show with a word of prayer?
Yes, sir. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be on the air, and we don't take this lightly. We know that you have given us this opportunity. Lord, we're tackling some big subjects over the past couple of weeks and for the next couple of weeks. And Father, we ask for your grace. We ask that you would fill us with your grace, that everything we would say would be encouraging to people, that it would be uplifting and building. I know we're tackling some controversial subjects. And Father, I ask that your hand would be upon us and that people would be encouraged by what they hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And we pray a blessing over all of you that are listening. We don't know where you are at in your journey or what you've been going through. We know that people have seasons of joy and seasons of despair. And we hope that our show brings you a little bit closer to truth, a little bit closer to your journey where you're finding God. And we want to be available and supportive in our roles, preaching truth and preaching it boldly. Sam, if you could give us a little outline of where we started season two, where we're kind of going over the next few weeks, what the series is going to kind of be about, and maybe dip a little bit into what we're going to talk about today. Why don't you give the listeners a little insight?
So last week we kicked off a new series called Buyer Beware, Pretenders to the Throne of Truth. And last week we highlighted three what we call false religions that people came up with over the years. We talked about Islam, we talked about Mormonism, we talked about Jehovah's Witnesses, and all of these have some common elements, both Islam and Mormon religion. We had some people go into a cave, encounter angels, and receive this supposedly new revelation. And yet we found in the Bible that it says that the truth was once and for all delivered to the saints. We find that in the book of Jude in verse 4. Also, we were warned in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8. It said, if we or even an angel from heaven should bring to you a gospel contrary to the one that you received, let him be anathema, or let him be accursed. And so this was a warning in the New Testament. The New Testament also said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, that Satan will masquerade as an angel of light to deceive. And so this is what we're seeing in Islam. This is what we're seeing in Mormonism. This is what we're seeing in the Jehovah's Witness religion. And we're here not so much to attack those groups as being foes and enemies. We know that the people that have been deceived by those religions, Jesus desires to save them. And so we're here to uphold the truth and to encourage people that maybe have fallen under the spell of these false religions to come and receive the love of Jesus Christ.
Oh, that's really good. And I'm excited for the next few episodes as we dig into some of this. And we must be upfront with you. Here at Old Lion, Young Lion, we believe in a doctrine that's called the exclusivity of Christianity. Now, we know that sometimes that word exclusive or excluding can be maybe a little bit frustrating for some people. But what I believe is some of you listeners out there are getting maybe irritated with this new fad in the world that seeks to make everything true. Everyone has their own truth. Everyone has their own thing that they're right, that their belief is right. Just leave us alone and I'll live in my world and you live in yours. But we believe and we think that there is more of us out there that believe that there is one truth that we can attain to. What we preach is that Christianity is that truth. So what that makes us have to do is point at some things that are an error and tell them, hey, we understand that you may have gotten fooled into this, but what you believe is wrong. And that needs to be entered back into our cultural relativity, and that is, there are things that are wrong and they need to be pointed out. So today, we're kind of diving into a specific one of these religions that we are going to outline for you and give you some warning about and say it is wrong. The one that we're diving in today is the religion that you may know as Islam, or a practitioner of Islam would be a Muslim. And our resident old line here, Sam Hazleton, he has spent some time for us. He's done the research on behalf of all the listeners, and he took on a massive task in reading this past week, the entire Quran. So Sam, why don't you give us a little insight to what you found, maybe a couple of tidbits, before we dive all the way into it. What'd you find, and how was it reading that entire book?
Well, I had read it once before, about 40 years ago, as a college student, but it had been a while, and I wanted to go back through it. And so, first of all, this is the first one we're tackling, and that's for good reason. There are 2 billion people on planet Earth right now that are Muslims, and they have been following this Quran that was supposedly given to the Prophet Muhammad. He had a vision of angels in a cave who gave him these new revelations, supposedly. But we're talking about 25% of the world's population is now under this belief. Throughout history, Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. And what have been the fruits of Islam throughout history? We've seen beheadings. We've seen kids being blown up. We've seen buildings being blown up. We see the religion expanding, not through self-sacrifice and Christian love, but their religion has expanded at the edge of the sword. And so you see a marked contrast between the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ and the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ and the faith and teachings that are in the Quran.
What was it like spending that large chunk of time kind of diving back into that book? And was there some major differences you've seen in an overview that you went from reading scripture? What was your experience like reading the entire book?
The whole tenor of the book claims that the whole reason it was given, the whole reason it was written, was to bring some clarity to things that were matters of dispute among Christians at the time. The people that founded Islam were very familiar with the Old Testament and New Testament teachings and scriptures. But what I found is reading through it is they incorporated many, many of the same stories, Old Testament and New Testament stories alike. However, they didn't reiterate these stories. They never quoted the actual Old Testament scripture. They never quoted the actual New Testament scripture. But instead, what they did was they added a lot of details to these other stories that you and I are familiar with from the Bible. They added these details, and the whole attitude, really, instead of bringing clarification to points of dispute, the attitude was to actually contradict what was in the scripture.
That's very interesting, and we kind of encourage people to do some of the research on some of these things that purport themselves to be true. You may have heard, or you may know of somebody in your workplace or in your life that is a practicing Muslim, and there's kind of 5 major tenets that comes along with the religion of Islam, not just reading through the Quran, but there's kind of 5 practices that a Muslim is kind of required to do or expected to do if they're going to maintain that they are a practicing Muslim. And I'm going to give you those 5 pillars. We're not going to break all of them down, but we're going to give you kind of an overview of what it looks like for them to practice a few of these things. What they're called, actually, is the 5 pillars of Islam. And the first one is that you must declare that Allah is God and that Muhammad is Allah's prophet. The second one of these 5 pillars is that you must pray 5 times a day facing Mecca, which is the holy city of Islam. The third one is you must do alms and good deeds for the poor and needy. Number four, you must observe the holiday that they call Ramadan, which includes fasting, among other religious practices. And number five, to be a good Muslim, you must practice taking a once-in-your-lifetime pilgrimage to the holy city, which is called Mecca. And these are kind of the five pillars of Islam. We've done a little bit of our research here. We've looked through what the Quran actually states. We've looked at these five pillars. And what we found is that this is a religion that is based off a very poor understanding of the Old and New Testament, but seeks to borrow the authority from the name of Jesus Christ, while with their other hand peddling lies to all of the people that follow this so-called true religion. We have a couple of scriptures that we found in the Word of God that kind of not only speak directly against Islam, but help reveal some of the truth to the followers of Jesus. Now, we want to reiterate that it's not our goal to bash or tear down or be hurtful to anyone, but you must know that when you've come across the truth of the Word of God, you cannot back down from that truth. It is unkind. It is false. It is living a lie that when we've entered into the truth, we cannot go back. One of the major claims that the religion of Islam makes is that while saying that they support Jesus Christ, they made a major declaration that says Jesus not only never died, but that Jesus never resurrected. And the Bible has something interesting to say about this idea of Jesus not dying and not resurrecting. And we have this in 1 Corinthians 15. So Sam, why don't you read some of these passages and we'll dig a little bit into the contrast between what Islam is teaching versus what the Bible is teaching.
Okay. So Paul, the apostle, I love this passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 8, where Paul really lays out the core of the gospel truth that we believe. And this is a good message for anybody, and you should be familiar with this passage. It says this, "For I delivered to you as of first importance that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas," that's Peter, "then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Verse 7, "then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Verse 8, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me." And so this is Paul's testimony. He says, hey, I want you to know that Jesus died and rose again from the dead. And oh, by the way, if you don't believe me, there are 500 people that saw him at one time, and most of them are still alive. So if you don't believe me, go and ask one of them. I can give you a list of their names. And so there's this concrete evidence for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And yet, here we have Islam. 600 years later, this prophet goes into a cave, and supposedly these angels tell him, oh, by the way, that never happened.
Mm.
And so, comes down to it, who are you going to believe? The 500 witnesses who saw Jesus alive at one time? Or are you going to believe this one guy who went into a cave, had a secret vision of an angel that nobody can verify, and comes out saying the exact opposite?
So this speaks exactly to the contrast that we were attempting to show you earlier, that in one hand, the Quran tries to purport that it is followers of Jesus, or what they call in their book, Isa, which they're meaning Jesus. They even affirm some of the things about Jesus's life in regards to his perfection, in regards to his virgin birth. But then they deny the central theme of all of Christianity, where Paul, the Apostle Paul, states later in his book to the Corinthians that if Christ be not risen from the dead, then all the Christians' faith is in vain. And so on one hand, claiming that you are a part of Christianity, that you are also followers of Jesus, but denying the fact that he was buried and rose on the third day, eliminates you from being able to stand on the truth of God's word. And this is the very warning that the book of Galatians gives us, that says, if any angel or any man or any spirit comes preaching another gospel, you are to make sure that that spirit, that that gospel, that that false angel and false prophet is considered accursed. Now, the religion of Islam has a similar setup, I guess, in some way to Christianity, where there is a God the Father called Allah, and then a prophet, a messenger, that they call Muhammad. And supposedly, Muhammad is supposed to be the discount Jesus or the variable Jesus or the replacement for this incorrect Jesus that was there. But I must point to these verses that our elder Sam here just spoke to, that there is 500 witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. Not only that, the New Testament is composed of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these gospels given by multiple witnesses. Did you know the Bible has a proverb or a truth about witnesses? The Bible teaches us that, specifically in Corinthians, which is quoted from the book of Deuteronomy, that truth is established in two or more witnesses. Sam, do you have the verse there? Do you have the idea?
It's 2 Corinthians 13:1.
Okay, give it to us.
It says, every charge must be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses.
So why don't you share with us, and I know you did some study on this, why don't you give some insight and some contrast to the idea of the many witnesses that are affirming Christianity versus all the witnesses that are affirming this Quran? What's the contrast here? Why don't you give me the idea?
Well, the contrast is huge. First of all, there are zero, count them, zero witnesses to the testimony of the Quran. All the detailed additions that it makes to the Old Testament and New Testament stories, I would call it historical fiction, where they've just added these details to the concrete stories of the Old and New Testaments. But there's no witnesses to these. There's nobody else who can attest to whether these things happened or didn't happen. In fact, these things actually contradict the biblical testimonies that we have. And it's so interesting. The Bible was composed by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has given us many witnesses. So we have four gospel writers. We have Matthew, we have Mark, we have Luke, we have John. These are independent eyewitnesses to the life, ministry, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're all giving the truth from their perspective. We can compare, we can see the stories are slightly different, but never contradicting.
I think this is a great idea because the idea that truth needs to be established among many witnesses or multiple people coming together and agreeing that this thing is true is not just a Bible truth. Listener, if you're out there and you're like, I'm not a Christian or I'm only stumbling across this show that you guys have and I'm interested in this topic and I always thought that Christianity versus Islam is kind of a one-for-one and they each kind of have their truths, you must know this, that somebody came along calling themselves a prophet of God and denied the thousands of witnesses that have been affirming the truth that's in God's holy scriptures, the Bible, the word of God, from Genesis to Revelation. One guy showed up and said, all of that's wrong and my thing is right, with no witnesses. He has no additional witnesses, no one to agree with him.
No witnesses, no miracles, nothing. We want to talk about witnesses here. We were talking about human witnesses. The Bible has lots of witnesses. First of all, prophetic witnesses.
Right.
There are thousands of Old Testament prophecies that have been literally fulfilled in history. History that we can read not only in the Bible,
right,
but we can read secular historical resources and see where the prophecies that were in the Bible literally came true in history. Thousands of times in the Old Testament and hundreds of times in the New Testament. Did you know that in your Bible, there are at least 365 individual prophecies in your Old Testament that describe the life and ministry, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? These were all predicted hundreds, thousands of years before the Lord came on the scene. This is the way God does it. He says it, and then it happens. In the case of Islam, there is nothing in the entire Bible from cover to cover. There's nothing that predicts the coming of this new truth, this new prophet. In fact, the Bible says that if you add to the words that are in this book, on the very last page of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, says, if anyone adds to the words of this book, God will add to him the plagues that are described in this book. And if any man takes away from the words of this book, God will take away his share in the tree of life.
You know, Sam, I need to give you a little pushback on this. If I were to give you a little point, I'm glad you made that. I agree with some of the things you said there, but I do need to give you a little pushback. You said there was no prophecies that Islam fulfilled in all of the scripture. That Muhammad didn't fulfill in any of the scripture. But I actually think there is one. And it's in the book of Matthew, chapter number 24. Do you know this one?
I certainly do.
Well, what is the one prophecy that Muhammad and all of Islam does fulfill from the scripture?
Right. Well, Jesus said this. He said, "Do not be deceived, for false Christs and false prophets will arise, leading many astray." And so that really is the one prophecy that's in your New Testament that declares this can happen. And of course, we talked about from Paul in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, if we or an angel from heaven brings a gospel contrary. And right. We saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 last week that even Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. So here's some prophecies in the New Testament saying that a bad actor would come right. And try to bring a false gospel, which is exactly what happened. And here we are so many years later, and now a quarter of the world's population are under complete deception.
Now, you might say, well, old line, young line, we like you guys. You always have interesting takes. We follow along with the show, but this might just not be enough. It's not enough they are known by their fruits. It's not enough that they don't have many witnesses. It's not enough that the Bible warned us of this. I need a little bit more evidence for us to kind of walk out the things that you're saying. Well, let me give you an additional piece. On top of all the prophecies, on top of all the research that we've done, on top of all the things that we can point to you, let me just share this with you. The Bible has an idea, and Christians have picked up on it, and we've coined a little phrase called WWJD. And what that phrase stands for is, what would Jesus do? And you kind of got some ideas that Jesus would be kind to one to another, that Jesus would feed people that are in need, that Jesus would go about helping people. And then the stories about Jesus all ring with that same nature. He was kind, he was joyful, he was glad, he was helpful, he was righteous. But you know what? We need to coin a new phrase, WWMD, and that would be, what would Muhammad do? The highest prophet, the leader of all of Islam, should have his own phrase, WWMD. And when you go read about the things that Muhammad acted in and how he operated in contrast to Jesus, you'll find quite a different story. A man who maybe at some level started off on a good foot trying to help people, but by the end of his life, what he did was, you will follow the things that I'm saying or you will be killed. He ended up leading almost 100 different battles in his life, taking over cities, killing people that didn't believe, and teaching people how he thought that they ought to live, which is a complete contrasted difference than the true and one and only living Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you haven't been convinced by any of the things that we've showed you today, we ask you, go do your own research. But on this final major point, WWMD, what would Muhammad do? And go ahead and do the comparison between him and Jesus Christ. Now, there's a final piece I think I want to share, Sam, and I want everyone to kind of pay attention. And I want to look at one other Bible verse in Romans chapter number 3. And I want to speak to the everyday man or woman right now. I just want to speak to the person that's going to work, that's trying their best, that's trying to raise their family, that's attempting to pay their bills, that's working out the things in their life and working out their family relationships. The biggest problem and the central problem with Islam and all false religions is this. It demands that you save yourself. That you do it on your own. I want to read a passage from you in Romans chapter number 3, verse number 28. This is from the Holy Word of God. The verified witness scriptures from God himself. Here's what the Bible says. Therefore, we conclude that man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. The most gracious, almighty God devised a plan for you to be rescued, justified, and saved, given heaven because of your faith, not by what you do. This is the central difference between all false religions, namely Islam, and the true and exclusive and ever gracious, wonderful, truest religion, Christianity. We're not here to tear people down. We're not here to push people into a corner. We're here to preach the glorious gospel of the grace of God.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I just want to encourage those of you who are out there, you got to understand, if you know anything about yourself, you know that you've got some defects.
Right.
You've got some character defects. You've got some things in your past that you're very ashamed of. You know that you haven't walked a life that's worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that you haven't walked a life that is deserving of a place in heaven. All of us know that. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But here, God comes down to us. He sends his only son who lived the perfect life that we could never live, and then dies the horrible death on the cross that we deserved, and then rises from the dead. And then God says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, Amen. Our Lord. And he says, if you believe on the name of the Son of God, if you believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive eternal life. You will be forgiven for your sins. You will be born anew, become a new creature, and you will be able to walk in the principles, the commands, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you will be new. Just like Jesus rose out of that tomb, your spirit will be made alive, and you will come exploding out of that cocoon, and you will walk in newness of life.
We want you to stick with us over the next few episodes as we go over this buyer beware, pretenders to the throne of truth. We want you to remember to ask two questions. Who is Jesus, and how does one obtain salvation? And when we put the religion of Islam and the Quran to the test, they get a failing grade for these two questions. They don't get Jesus right, and they don't get how one is saved correct. Now, we hope that you stay with us and join us on this journey as we continue to travel, and we know that you'll be blessed by these episodes.
We hope to see you in church.
God bless.